All right, well, greetings to each one. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is really good to be gathered with the saints this morning. It's good to have a full house. It's good to have you visitors. Thank you for being here. A warm welcome to you. Good to have all the regulars. Truly God is good to us, to give us one another. Let's rise to our feet and have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord God, thank you for meeting with us this morning and speaking to our hearts in very direct ways already. Our cups are full and running over. I pray for each soul here today that your Spirit would minister to each one, minister comfort, minister grace, minister courage, minister conviction, and even fear where it is necessary. Just, you know, in your heavenly, kind, almighty way, what each one needs. Just grant that to us so that we can go out the doors today bettered for having been here. To your praise and glory, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm starting in Genesis chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there a while. Now, one of the things that I have changed my view, at least somewhat, from my growing up years, in my setting where I grew up, it just seemed like we were always hearing about creation, always in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Every communion service, every wedding, every funeral, every council meeting, in fact, twice in a council meeting, and maybe twice in communion, they went through. And different ministers had different ways of bringing certain things out. But sometimes it just got kind of old. Why do we always have to be in there? And I'm not saying we should be in there that much. But I realized that Genesis 1, 2, and 3 are very foundational to so many things that we believe and know to be true. Which is why those chapters are being attacked so much in our day. Creation, marriage, family, and you could go on. Genesis chapter 3. And I could just say, well, you know the story, and I could skip right down to verse 19, but I'm not going to do that. If we always do that to the scriptures that we think are familiar, when are the little ears going to hear it? So I think I'll just do that. I'll read Genesis chapter 3, and I'm not planning on going long this morning. My message may not be as well planned out as it could have been, but I stand before you needy, but happy to share the word of God. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The beginning part of verse 19 is in the sweat of thy face. The NIV says, by the sweat of your brow, and that's the phrase that we're more familiar with in our modern English, by the sweat of your brow, we use that. And that's the title of the message this morning. This may seem like a less spiritual message than what you're used to hearing. It may speak to our Monday morning life more than our Sunday life. But I happen to believe, at least for myself, that my spirituality is only as real and as deep as what it is Monday when I get to work. I was challenged this morning when I heard of the pains of a father who wasn't at home what he appeared to be at church. I was challenged to search my own life and ask God for grace to be real, to be spiritual, to be genuine, to be a disciple of Christ. Yes, Sunday, but certainly every day of the week, at home, abroad, wherever we happen to be. By the sweat of your brow. And now I will turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Those are the two scriptures, or maybe three, that I plan to read this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. If you would like to turn there, you may, starting in verse 20. Kind of jumping in there in the middle. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be, ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We just read where the first man and woman gave place to the devil, and we know the awful consequences. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Here we have a picture of the old man and a picture of the new man. The old man being one of lying, of anger, of stealing, of corrupt communication. And the new man, one that has put away lying, now speaking the truth. One that has put away stealing, now working with his hands. One that has put away anger and has become gentle. One that has put away corrupt communication and now employs his tongue, his mind, to the edification of those around him. Is there anyone here this morning that wouldn't like to just say to God, Yes, Lord, I want to be that new man? Such were some of ye. Many of us have been there. We know what it's like to be the old man. Many of us have sought the Lord, have repented, have believed, have put on the new man. But it's a continuum. Yes, we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive cleansing, we receive a new life, praise God. But some of these things, we're not always completely free and clear. We haven't grown in the Lord as much as God would call us to. So this morning, the challenge is to young and old, to the old man and the new, to consider our ways and say, Yes, God, by your grace I will do it. And I'm focusing on verse 28. And my 4 points taken from that verse are a good attitude in our work and honesty, that which is good, and in order to be giving. Work is a big part of our life. Can be too big, and sometimes we hear messages on how we need to look at materialism and cut back, look at maybe we're being a workaholic and we need to focus our focus right. And yes, we do need to. But the Bible has much to speak about being slothful, the snares of that, and how we need to beware of that. So a good work ethic, a godly work ethic, a wholesome work ethic is something that God cares about and wants us to walk in. Now, like I said, this speaks to young and old in our work. If you are 4 years old and have chores in your home after breakfast, I can speak to you and anyone else here as well. A word to the mothers. When you fill out a form, like we do many times at the doctor's office or immigration desk or wherever you fill out a form and there's a line, occupation, don't ever put none there or not applicable or any other kind of negative. Your occupation is the most noble of any one of us here. It's hard enough to have one godly home without a godly mother. It's impossible to have a godly church without godly mothers in the home. It's impossible to have a godly, wholesome, healthy society without godly mothers. And it's impossible to have a healthy nation without godly mothers. Godly mothers are a rarity, and we are very, very blessed with each one of you that sit here this morning. You have the most noble of all occupations. A good attitude. I think many of us have been to work somewhere, working alongside somebody, and we heard maybe a kind of a careless, "How are you this morning?" And, "Oh, it's Monday." Or you ask somebody how they are, "It's Friday." What's a sanctified response? What's your attitude when you get to work Monday morning? Willing, cheerful, a servant of God? Is Monday a good day? The world knows whether you're happy to be working or whether you're just putting in your time. A lousy work ethic will hinder your witness. In my work, one of the things that we do is concreting. Not all the time, but I get to meet quite a few concrete truck drivers and concrete contractors kind of have a culture of their own. Concrete truck drivers kind of have a culture of their own. And it kind of gets to be a fairly rough culture, a fairly coarse culture. Drivers usually don't have a lot of time for politeness and etiquette and "Hi, how are you?" And, it's just in and out. Everybody's busy and lots of opportunity for bad attitudes. And you see it sometimes. And, at your average, it's at least, somewhat cordial, and everybody just kind of does their thing and go your way and you never see each other again, possibly. But there's two concrete truck drivers that I remember over the past 23 years of meeting them. There are two that stand out very distinctly to me. The one I met, well, both of them I met a number of times, not that often. They were from other counties. The one always, they both did. They both always had a good attitude and a smile on their face and time to chit-chat and connect a little bit. And their response when you asked them how they were was just positive. And I so well remember the one coming out after we had a grumpy one before, and this one came out and I recognized him. I don't even know his name, but I knew his face. He came out and said, "Hi, how are you?"
And he said, it's another day in paradise. And he was just happy to have his lot in life and happy to be out serving us. And that was 10, 12 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. And if he would speak to me of his God and of his Lord, I don't know if he's a believer. He seems like he would be. If he would speak to me of his faith, I'd want to listen. If he would speak to me of his good God and why he's so happy, I'd want to listen. There's plenty of other truck drivers that I wouldn't expect it from them in the first place. And if they would, yeah, I'd probably listen, but my ears wouldn't be perked in the same way. And both those truck drivers that I'm speaking of were that way. Just had a good attitude, had time for you, had a smile for you. Weren't just thinking about themselves and why don't you get up and get this truck unloaded. And I'm sure you understand the point. If we're out there, we can be like all the other concrete truck drivers. Or we can be like those two. And if you're like those two, the other people around you will remember you just like I remember them. And their ears will be open too, if you have something to say. Be industrious. And the second concrete truck driver, that was one thing about him. Most of them, they'll do their job. And if it's not something they're called to do, they won't do it. That's your job or somebody else's. I'm paid to do this. That's it. Not this one. He was out there to make your day go well. Whatever he could do to help you, as long as his job was covered and he had spare time, he'd be happy to get as dirty as you were getting and work as hard as you were working. And he just was right there with you, going the extra mile. And I remember that 15 years later. Be humble. Be humble in your work. If you're gifted in what you do, that's great. If you're gifted in what you do and you enjoy what you're doing, then you should be doing exactly what you're doing. If nobody else can do it quite like you can, be humble about it. You might be wrong. There might be others that can do it just as well. But even if there aren't, nobody's going to be blessed by boasting. There's plenty of boasting to go around in the world. Proverbs says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. I learned very early on by a dear friend that has since passed on, but a friend in the industry I was working in gave me a tip early on. He said, talk good about your competition. If there's good to be said, talk good about them. Everybody will respect you better. And that was good for me. It doesn't mean you can't, if somebody does a lousy job, it doesn't mean you can't steer people away from that direction. Use the golden rule. If you wouldn't want to go that way, you can help others to not go that way. But you're not the only one out there. I'm not the only one out there. And one of the ways we can witness by our actions is to speak well of our competition. And if they're right down the road and they can serve your customer better than you can, it's nothing wrong with just sending them down there. I don't need a commission. You'll be better served over there. One of the things that can humble a man is to look around at folks that are gifted in what they do, and you realize, I could never do that. Several weeks ago, we were in, any of you ladies have had soapboxes with a 20 mule team on the side of the soapbox? You have, or you remember your mother's soapbox with a 20 mule team? We saw that wagon that was used with the 20 mule team sitting in Death Valley. And it was about the middle of the day and the temperature was 122 degrees. And I wasn't going to stay in the AC and not go out there and look at it. But some of us went over and walked around it, and the heat was incredibly intense. And it felt like 122 degrees. You couldn't be out there long. The wagon was tremendous. the works there was just very, very interesting. And they had pictures there of immigrant workers out there scraping the desert floor, picking up this borax, bringing it into the refinery and refining it. And they were doing this in Death Valley. Now, it did say they couldn't cool the certain process. They couldn't cool it down enough when it was over 120, so they would close down for part of the summer. Well, that means you still worked up to close to 120 out there in the desert heat. I don't know how I could do that. And there's a number of other occupations where I maybe just was called on for a day and I had to help with that. And by the end of the day, my respect was really up for those folks that can do that. God intentionally gifts everyone with something. And maybe it's very unique and it's very needed and it's absolutely essential and you should be doing what you do. But God gave that to you for the welfare and the benefit of humanity, not just for you. And certainly, again, back to mothering. Mothering is a very demanding occupation. And us men could never do it. We often look at what you go through and we don't know how you do it. But we'll pray for you, we'll stand with you, and we admire what you're doing. Don't resist the sweat of the brow. Rather, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Years ago, in my home community, there was a teacher brought into my school, and it was before I went to school. It's Kirks Valley School out there in Juniata County. I could take you right to it. I think this lady has passed on, and bless her heart, she probably tried her best, but she wasn't cut out for teaching. And the schoolroom spiraled out of control under her teaching for a number of reasons. I don't know what all, but it was out of control. One of the stories, and there was many, one of the stories I used to hear was of the older boy, and the boys had turned into bullies. One of the older boys was punished, and he had to hold a number of books in his hands, arms straight out, stand there for however long, and he did it, and he was there red-faced, and he managed to get through, and after a while the teacher said, okay, you can put it down now, and now he was having fun. He just kept on going, and he was grinning around and just having fun, taking things in his own terms. I can do this. I don't care, teacher. You can, whatever. I don't know what all his motives were. But sometimes maybe we can take that approach. God cursed the ground and said, by the sweat of your brow, you earn your bread. There's two reactions that are unhealthy. There's a right reaction. There's a right action. We can either say, no, I won't. I'm not going to work hard. I'm going to sit around. I'm going to let everybody else do my work. I'm going to be slothful. Of course, nobody will say that. I can take that reaction. I can be the macho man where nothing's going to stop me and I'm just a macho man. That's unhealthy too. That's not a right approach either. The macho man must be put on the altar. The macho man must be crucified. The world does the same thing with death around Halloween, putting all the death symbols out and celebrating death. When it is a curse, when death is our last enemy, and death, we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Death is not something to be celebrated. Life is to be celebrated. That's why believers don't hang out bones and whatever else over Halloween. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. What part has complaining in your life? Many of us were here when Brother Ted had the children's lesson. Stop complaining. Remember that one? Stop complaining. Stop complaining. And he hammered that into the children and to us adults. We can, in our home, we can say, stop complaining, and somebody else will just pick it up and say it three times, just like Ted did. We still remember that. How many times are we guilty of complaining of the hardships that God puts in our life for our good? If God had not made things harder for us by cursing the ground, we would have a whole new level of spiritual problems. Pride, greed, idolatry, contention. God had our good in mind. God had our good in mind when He cursed the ground. God had our good in mind when He shortened man's life from hundreds of years up to almost 1,000, down to 70 or 80. We need humility. And we have such a tendency to pride. That's it for that point. The second one is honesty. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit. And maybe that one doesn't fit so well in this point, but it does fit into the message. We don't need to be, it does fit in here. In all labor there is profit. We don't need to be shrewd in order to get by. All you need the world over is an honest work ethic. Here's an honorable man, trustworthy, willing to work hard for an honest day's pay. It's the shortness of men like that. If you will be that, don't need to be shrewd. Don't need to take advantage of people. I had a co-worker years ago, and he's passed on as well. He had a reputation of being very shrewd. He had a reputation of walking off the job with this or that, whatever he thought he could make off with. And sadly, he was born and raised and still professed Christianity. But everybody knew, you don't trust this man. And he confided in me one day. He just said, times are hard. It just doesn't seem like you can get ahead without taking advantage of people. And that was the policy he lived by. Let me just tell you, he was wrong. He struggled to make ends meet while others around him were working honestly, living uprightly, and doing just fine. A good policy for all of us is to charge less than we could and to deliver more than we have to. People take notice of that. Stay away from hidden fees. Recently, buying a used car, searching the web, traveling around, trying to find a deal that I felt like would fit us. And I kind of knew this, but I was just reminded again how notorious used car dealers are for tacking on hidden fees. The price online might be $10,000, but by the time you're said and done, it's going to be $13,000, $14,000. Wow. And then I found a believer brother up in another county, heard of him, didn't know him, told he was a believer. I called him up. He said, yeah, I have a car here. It's such and such. Would that fit you? Yeah, I think it would. We went, and the exact price he said it would be, that's exactly what it was. We walked away, and of course we had to pay sales tax then, but no extra fees. And I just appreciated the man. I got to spend an hour or two with him. And I'd go back there any day. If I needed a car, if I found out he could do this or that I needed, I'd go back to him any day. If he testified of the Lord Jesus, I'd want to listen. Bought another large machine recently, and as I was making the deal there, the man said, what do you want me to put on the title? How much? Well, we already had made the deal. We knew how much I was paying. What do you want me to put on there? I can save you money. What do you do? Why not? Just think on a paper. What would you do? Nobody would have to know. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And a number of different ones there. He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. And then we get to verse 4. And the end of verse 4, he says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not.
How important is it to have God's blessing on my life? How important is it to have God's blessing on your life? How important is it when you go to work Monday morning and you start making transactions? How important is it to have God smiling over your life? God knows each and every transaction that gets made. Not only does He know, He also cares how it gets made. He cares how it affects people. He cares how honest, or the lack thereof, that it is.
Let's talk about moderation. Philippians says, let your moderation be known to all men. Don't be given to excess, and don't be given to lack. Just be a man of moderation. Be a woman of moderation. Let your life be moderated by the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be a workaholic, but be willing to work hard. Don't find your identity in what you can accomplish. They'll come where you can't outdo the people around you anymore. And your identity was hidden in being able to be a macho man. It's going to be hard. Our identity needs to be in much more than our work. It needs to be in Christ Jesus and Him alone. God made us with a need for recreation. Rest on the seventh day. Sometimes you need time apart for a while. Without anxiety. This morning I was outside. It's getting daylight and the birds were just singing away. Boy, were they singing. And I had fun trying to identify different kinds, and they were just all singing away, and there was a bunch of different ones. And it was inspirational. It was encouraging. It was just a blessing. It was pleasant to listen to. Why are those birds singing? Jesus said, don't be anxious. Look at the birds. Look how carefree they are. They know their Father cares for them. Do you know your Father cares for you? Those birds were singing not just to perform. They weren't singing because it was Sunday morning. They weren't singing to prove they were better than the blackbirds. They were just singing because God created them. They were happy to sing and praise God. Live your life that way. Not just on a Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, every day. Next point. That which is good. There are occupations that are off limits for the disciple of Christ, such as producing harmful substances. Tobacco, liquor could be other things. Endorsing sinful lifestyles. I respect those that have suffered a lot for refusing to make same-sex wedding cakes. We should all be willing to suffer, whether it's just take less pay, whether it's whatever it might be, lose business deals in order to appear and be upright in the sight of God and man. As servants of our Heavenly Father, our occupation should contribute to the welfare of humanity. Point number 3, in order to be giving. And it's not about how much. Remember the poor widow. She gave those 2 small coins. She gave what she could. God sees what you can do. God sees what I can do. He sees what we hold back. He sees what we give. God's desire is that we care and that we live a life of caring. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, again, it doesn't so much matter how much one makes. It matters what the heart is in caring for others. In Genesis chapter 3 that I read at the beginning, they had one temptation. And it seems like today we have so many. So many temptations on every hand.
affluence, the technology, the defilements of the world. Brothers and sisters, God says in His Word, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Don't be discouraged. We can do it by God's grace. We can be faithful. We can be true. We can be strong. We don't have to give in to the temptations around us. They gave in the Garden of Eden to one. We might have 1,000, but it all comes down to a surrendered heart. If the heart isn't surrendered, one is too many. If the heart is surrendered, 1,000 won't take you down. Praise God. God desires that we would have wholesome lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The godly life is a wholesome life. A godly work ethic is a wholesome work ethic. A life where life is valued. Others are valued. The church is to be a community where we work and we care and we give and we take as needed. Where the elderly and handicapped are valued and cared for, and the caregivers are cared for. I want to just drive home a little bit that work is honorable. Maybe you have work that doesn't create sweat on the brow. That's honorable too, as it's beneficial to society. The sweat on the brow is partially symbolic, at least, to all the hardships, all the difficulties as we fight with and work against diseases, every effect of sin in the world, thorns and thistles, all of those things. And our lives are all made harder by them. But God is good. Work is honorable. And it doesn't matter so much what you do in work. Whether digging ditches or flying airplanes, one isn't really more lofty than the other when done to God's praise and glory. Regular chores of some sort is a healthy part of development for children. And that's one of those things in society where society does children a large disfavor by not teaching them to work, and that work is an honorable thing. We have many people suffering in our world today because of that. They never learn to work and enjoy work and to work hard. Let's appreciate that. In our culture, in our upbringing, it's not something to be discarded, something to be appreciated and nurtured. Small children need to be guarded so that their activities are healthy and upbuilding. And work given in small ways, work that's fitting for their age, and even play. We need to be very careful that we don't give in to just using technology to babysit our children. The sandbox is better than an Xbox any day. Remember that. If you don't remember anything else. Corn cobs or wooden blocks. Anything where the hands can be busy and the mind creative, and they learn those life skills early on that will serve them so well later in life. And this is for adults too. How much precious time gets wasted on our electronics that we carry around. I do it. I could do better at not wasting time. I keep saying I want to, but it's still a struggle. How are we doing? It used to probably be easier to just say, we're not going to have television. And we didn't sit around, we didn't become couch potatoes watching television. But the lines aren't as clear anymore. We can so easily pull out a gadget, have something in front of us, sit in the couch, waste our time away. Time is precious. We only have a limited amount. What we do with it, we're responsible for it.
A solid, godly work ethic in a community context is a beautiful thing, but it must not be directed inward. It must be directed outward. We must be careful in our day to not depend on insurances and all the other things that come along that just help us to live pretty independent lives. We live in a very independent society, a very spoiled society, and an unraveling society. Let us not forget here at Ephraim Christian Fellowship, the church is called to be a community working together, joyfully serving each other, and being a blessing everywhere we go, whatever our occupation, whatever we do with our hands throughout the week, that it would be a blessing, that we could be a testimony for God, for His glory, that we could be the salt, the preservation that our society so desperately needs. Tomorrow morning, as you wake up, get on the road, get the children up, whatever it might be, open the shop, remember, it's Monday, and I'm going to bring glory to God today, the way I work for Him. Resolve to have a godly, wholesome, humble work ethic that makes Jesus attractive to the watching world, that glorifies and pleases your Maker and mine. Can we stand again and pray? O Lord God, You are good. You are kind. You are loving. You care for us. You care for the sparrows. How much more for us? Thank You for all of creation. Thank You for the giftings that You give each one here and those listening in. You are so amazing how You put things together. I pray for Your grace to be abundant upon each one of my hearers as we go on through this day and tomorrow and the rest of our lives, that we can employ ourselves, as it says there in Ephesians 4, to put away stealing and work with our hands that which is good, so that we have to give to those that have need. Just bring that about in a healthy way in our midst. Help us to be the salt and the light in our world that the world so much needs. And what prosperity that You allow us to experience, oh, may it not take us away from You. May it not cause us to forget how much we need You, but may we be humble and generous and glorify You in our lives. Bless the fellowship. Bless each family, each individual as we part from here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Well, thank you, brother, for that very practical message. I mean, work is part of every one of our lives. As he mentioned, it's from the age of four, you know, very much a part of our life, or at least it should be. So thank you for that, for laying out some good sound biblical principles. I think one thing is just having a good attitude. My wife has some potholders hanging on the wall. They say it's a good day to have a good day. So if we can keep that in mind. If you can have time for another truck driver story. There's a truck driver that came in several times. He's no longer working for Pitt, Ohio. But he would come in. And I only seen him a couple times. His name was Larry. He was a pastor of a church here in Carlisle. And the thing that he would say, if you would greet him, is, "I am too blessed to be stressed." And he must apparently say that, like, everywhere he went. Because recently I asked another driver from the same company, you know, is he still working there or something? He's like, "No, he's not there anymore." But he would always say, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." So he definitely made an impact in his occupation through his positive attitude. So anyone want to share any comments about the message here before we close? Brother Carl.
Deeply appreciated all the challenges this morning. And once again, I think there's a theme that ran through our service. And I would characterize it with this question. Is my faith authentic? Meaning, is it real? Or is it something that I put on and pretend and do on Sunday? I'd like to say, Ephraim suggested that Monday and Tuesday are just as important as Sunday. I'd like to suggest they're more important, actually. I think how your faith functions Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is what really counts. And Sunday is just when you get together to have fun with it. But the real thing is Monday through Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yesterday when we left the wedding reception, I think it was, we followed a car for a while. It was clearly a veteran. He had veteran stickers all over. And in the middle of the bumper, right in the middle, just a small black and white bumper sticker. And it said these words, "I can't hear what you say because I see how you live." And caught my eye, and my wife too, and we talked about it a little bit. And I'd love to know that man's story, but I guarantee you there's something behind that and why he's putting that on. And unfortunately, for far too many Christians, it is that way. We have things to say, but our lives defeat the very message that we're trying to convey. And it ought to be the opposite, as Brother Ephraim challenged us. I want to hear what you have to say because I see how you live.
That's right.
There's a sign on my office door. It says, "Attitudes are contagious." Is yours worth catching?
I like that one. Anyone else? Brother DJ.
We're blessed being here today. Always enjoy visiting. Two things that stuck out to me several years ago when we lived here, I think, David Cooper preached in some of these verses in Ephesians, but the part of the verse of put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. One Sunday morning we came in, and right soon after we moved here, and one of the brothers asked, "How are you doing this morning?" I said, "Oh, great, fine." And then these verses here were preached on, and it really hit me hard that one of those ways of speaking truth to our neighbor or to our brother is, if they ask how we're doing, don't lie. Don't say, "Great, how was your week? Perfect," if it really wasn't. Part of speaking truth is just say how it was and learn from those experiences and encourage each other and go on. The other thing was, when I first started working full-time as a job when I turned 17, on Monday, people would show up at the shop, the dragging. And I just purposed very early on that I'm going to make Monday the best day of my life. And I love Monday morning. I love to get up and go to work on Monday morning. It just seems like half the world's depressed. And I just love it. I love the excitement of, it's a new week. It's a new week to serve other people. It's a new week of opportunities. Let's take advantage of it and not mope around. So God bless you.
Yeah, amen. Thank you for those thoughts, DJ. If you think about it, if Sunday's truly a day of rest, should we not have more spring in our step on Monday? Just a thought.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.